session number 9287, reel 1.
Yeah. Gentleford Camp was only approximately half the size of what Pound Piece is.
Yeah.
Now in that you've got 4 barrack rooms.
Yeah.
You've got a guard room.
Yeah.
Behind the guard room you've got your ammunition. All stored in the open.
Yes.
You had the garage, which was lorries parked behind one another.
Presumably they had no roof over them, or did they?
They had the roof over
them. They did have
a
roof.
It wasn't a garage, a
true garage, yeah.
A true garage, with the exception that all you could get was 2 vehicles abreast behind each other.
Yes.
And there was a gap between the roof and the walls of the garage.
Which made a draught.
Which, that was the idea, was to allow fumes out.
Yes.
But it was always the contention of all concern that an Arab had got up there and thrown a flare in filling up with petrol. Now, the old-fashioned petrol cans were 4-galloners that you had to pierce.
Yes.
And, of course, you flopped petrol all over the floor. Now, immediately the flare got through, the floor of the garage was ablaze.
Yes.
And, consequently, all the lorries.
Yes.
So I cleared the drivers out, got them to start the vehicles up quick, get out. And then drove the lorries out. Got the first 5 out without any problem at all. And took them out to a degree of safety away from the ammunition and camp.
Yeah.
And the soldiers. And then there was 2 that were really on fire.
Yes.
And so, by which time the fire alarm had sounded, the troops were there.
Yeah.
And what could be done, it could only be done by with mechanical knowledge.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the fire extinguishers, which were awful, they didn't produce what they were supposed to do. They were too small for the job.
Yeah.
So what did we do? We got soil and tried to close the air off.
Yes.
Now, unfortunately, there was a young lad slipped and fell in among the this lorry. And I dived in to get him. With that, the petrol tank blew up. Next thing I knew, I woke up, I don't know how many yards away.
Yes.
And I was on fire. And I was burnt from head to foot.
Yes.
I was partially blind for, I think, 6 weeks. And that frightened me. That was the only thing that really frightened me. And it was very, very, nothing worse than burns, as you can appreciate. Yeah. Jock McAvoy, who was with me, he pierced the tank of the other one with a pickaxe, and the flame shot out, and of course he got burnt all at the arms. He knew exactly what he was doing, and he told me afterwards in hospital. But it was the only way we were going to stop the tank from exploding.
Yes.
And of course you've got ammunition not so very many yards away.
Yeah,
so
very dangerous.
It's
yeah.
very dangerous. And that's just about it.
That's a nice graphic account. Okay.
My father's name was Walter Atkinson.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's name was Sarah Elizabeth.
That's fine.
Name of school I went to was Westdyke Central School.
Westdyke.
Date of joining the Greenhouse was 20th of November 1933. Date of going overseas was 1937. I went to, in 39 to 45, I went to with a BEF.
That was after you came home from hospital. You came home. Were you in hospital here as well as in Haifa?
Yes, I was in Haifa Hospital approximately 3 months. And I came home and saw a skin graft specialist. Did a skin graft on my leg, left leg. And then after persuading the MO to let me come home, I was given a couple of months leave. And within a week, war broke out. So we had the problem of getting the camouflaging of all vehicles and coming up to war standard. And war broke out on September the 3rd. I suppose it was October the 1st. Went with the BF.
To France.
To France. And we were at a small place called Bapaume.
Yes, I know Bapaume well.
And from there we moved on to Douai.
I know Douai too.
Bapaume was a funny place, really.
It is. Before we go any further. Right.
Now, hospital at Tizen.
You've
got that, don't
you? Yes, I've got that now, yes. Yes, because that was Haifa and then home, and that's what you just told us.
I've been in France about, when was it, in the March? The
March 40.
And the battalion was due to go to Scotland. In the meantime, I'd been put into number one general hospital in France. Due to the bad winter, frostbite had got him a burns, which hadn't properly healed anyway.
No.
In fact, I say to myself these days, I think that I get, looking back, I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But I think I made a mistake. And I went, from there, I was put on a ship in Le Havre, and from Le Havre went to New Haven, and from there to Chertsey Hospital, Surrey. And I was in there for some considerable time, and joined the battalion in Scotland. And then from there I was sent to the depot as in charge of transport with the specialist company of number 5 ITC.
Was that Richmond?
Richmond, yes. The specialist company was at our school. It dealt with lorries, all forms of transport, signals, telecommunications, mortars. It dealt with everything regarding the specialist side of the job. And I stayed there until eventually they decided that I was no longer, I think the paragraph is 390. Ceasing to become
fit for service.
Well, not exactly that. It was ceasing to withstand physical requirements. I think that's how it comes.
Yeah,
an efficient soldier. So I was discharged and given a 40% disability pension.
And your character that you...
My character was exemplary. It reads, this NCO's discharge is a great loss to the regiment. His disability was caused by an act of self-sacrificing gallantry for which the regiment has been very proud. First-class, reliable man, hard-working, enthusiastic, a very good mechanical instructor, has been a member of the battalion boxing team. I think that's just about all.
Lovely.
You've got, do you want anything else to do? You've got hobbies here, and yes, sports.
And I want your date of marriage, at least a year.
Year of marriage, 1937.
And Doreen came from Redcar as well?
No, my wife came from Portland.
Well, she did come. I met
my wife in the last year we were stationed
here. Oh, really? You were stationed here in 37, were you?
Yes, I was a regular soldier. Mm. We were here for 4 years.
Mm.
And
well, that explains why you came to Portland, I wasn't sure.
And after the war, it was a question of where we got a home first. Mm. And Portland were very kind enough, very kind to us indeed. They gave us, we were allowed a council house.
Yeah.
And I've been lived in the same address ever since.
Jolly good. And they're just the two children, is that right?
Three children. I've got three children. My daughter Fiona, Warwick, and Philip.
Philip, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's told me most of the things I've got down on there that I wish to ask for.